A number of years ago, I was working at a different church, and God had been using us. We had seen his hand in that church, and it had been a good season for us. However, I really started to feel and sense that God might be leading us on. He might be leading us somewhere else. But we had no idea when. We had no idea where. But the more we prayed about it, the more convinced my wife Melissa and I became that he was indeed leading us. And to be honest, there was this sense of excitement within me. Something new, a new opportunity to trust and follow, maybe a new place that we would love. But to be really honest, I felt pretty fearful. I didn't know where we would be, what we would be doing. I didn't know if we would be in BC, in Canada, somewhere else. I really had no idea. But because of this sense that God was leading us somewhere, I started to look for new opportunities, trusting that God would move us on. And one position came to my attention, and immediately I got pretty excited. I think my wife actually brought it to me and said, "Hey, look at this. What do you think?" And I started to sense that, wow, this could be a really good fit for us, and this would be great for our family. And so, after prayer, I applied for this position, and we prayed as a family that God would lead us there if it was his will. And eventually I was called for an interview, and then I was called for a second interview. And then I was told that it was down to three of us, and things were looking pretty good. And so my wife, Melissa, and I started to get excited, and so we would regularly drive to this city, and we'd just kind of wander around and explore, and we started to let our minds wander and dream about what would it look like to live and work and minister in a place like this. And one afternoon, I received a phone call. "Hi there, I'm just calling to follow up on our previous conversation." "Yes." "We wanted to let you know that we have actually chosen another pastoral candidate. We sense that God was leading us to them and they've accepted the position." I don't remember what else they said because, frankly, I felt crushed. I felt really, really disappointed and down. I had allowed myself to hope for something good, believing that God was leading me in this way, and now I'd been let down. Have you ever been there yourself? Have you ever allowed yourself to dream, sensing that God might be leading you somewhere, and then you end up disappointed? We've been in a sermon series, as I mentioned earlier, on Abraham and Sarah, looking at their life, their journey of faith through the book of Genesis. And they are on their way to becoming people of faith, but they're not quite there yet. And over the past few weeks, we've seen how God has been faithful to them. And he's been calling them out, and how he's given them a great promise through his word, saying that he will give them a child, and in fact, he will give them a new land. But they're human. They doubt. And in the last few weeks, we've seen, because of this broken world, them trying to claw back at times, take things back into their own hands instead of becoming people of faith. Their journey wasn't easy. It wasn't smooth. It was full of twists and turns and bumps. And tonight we're going to be exploring the same idea of the journey of faith from the 15th chapter of Genesis. And this chapter is unique. This barrenness that Sarah has been experiencing, in which God said he would lead her out of, still continues. She's still not pregnant. And so we're going to read from the 15th chapter, verses 1 to 6. "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram, later known as Abraham, in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.' But Abram said, 'Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate, Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will become my heir.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we long to hear from you. as individuals, and as a community. And so, Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you come and would you speak to us now, soften our hearts that we might hear what it is you long to say to each one of us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. This chapter is one of the most important chapters in the story of Abraham and Sarah. And I can imagine, if I were Abraham, I'd be thinking, what? Really, God? Where's this child that you promised me? I've been there. I was there when I didn't get that pastoral position I just told you about. I thought you were good, God. I thought you were leading me to this role. Now what? Now what am I to do? Maybe for you today, you feel that God has called you to something. Maybe it's a specific job. Maybe it's a spouse, and yet you find yourself single and no prospects. Maybe it's a home in Vancouver, and yet you can barely pay your rent. Maybe it's something else. And let me be clear tonight, we're not talking about God giving us everything we want or simply desire. We are rather talking about God drawing us out and calling us to something specific and us having the courage to follow. Will God be faithful? This is how Abraham and Sarah are feeling in this passage. And tonight we're going to look at this by looking at two main questions. The first, can God be trusted? And secondly, will we trust God? So can God be trusted? That's a question most of us have asked at some point in our life. If not out loud, then certainly in our spirit. Can God be trusted? And in our text, we see God coming to Abraham in a vision and telling him, don't be afraid. That he is Abraham's shield and his great reward. But Abraham doesn't care so much that he's his great reward. He wants a kid. He wants a son. God had promised them years ago, and yet they are still childless, and all the evidence in their life is pointing some other direction. I can resonate. I'm sure you can resonate. When you put your trust in God, when you put your weight in him, and things don't turn out like you think that they would, that's so disappointing. And so Abraham protests against God. He says, what use are your gifts as long as I'm childless and now a mere house servant is going to inherit or get it all? It's a fair question. Great nations start with babies, real ones, and there are no babies around. Sarah and Abraham have been trying for 50 years, and they're not getting any younger. And Abraham is starting to want to help God out a little. God, maybe it's not from my own body. Maybe you're actually wanting me to pull in someone from my household and treat them as family, even though they aren't flesh and blood. And he starts to try to take things into his own hands. A few weeks ago, my daughter, Ada, and I went on a daddy-daughter retreat for her 10th birthday. And we went to Barnabas Family Ministries for this retreat on Keats Island. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to meet someone named Rob Bentall. And Rob is the executive director of Barnabas. And Rob has an amazing story. In 1972, Rob had just finished an undergraduate degree and was planning on taking the family business. However, he started to sense that God might be calling him into ministry. And so Rob is a pretty practical guy. And so he asked God. He said, God, if you're calling me, I need a specific vision for ministry if you want me to do this. In October of 1972, Rob was facilitating a camp on Keats Island. And he started to sense that God was actually answering his request for a specific vision. On the second night of the retreat, a certain location came to Rob's mind. And he took two friends and they hiked across the island to this specific location. And they arrived there and no one was there. And so he thought, what else should I do but pray? And so he prayed this. He said, Lord, if this vision is of you, protect it, preserve it, and bring it about in your own time. The following summer, Rob returned to that location to speak to the owner, a retired high school principal. Now, Rob knew about this person. He knew that they weren't a follower of Christ, and so he knew he needed to tread carefully. He went up to his door and knocked and started to tell this guy about this vision, this specific vision that he believed God had given him. Things didn't go so well. The man actually got very angry and kicked Rob off of his property. The door was closed. And yet, the specific vision remained. The years went by, and eventually the owner of the property died. And he left the estate. He left the home and property to his nephew, Richard. Richard lived in Nova Scotia. And when he found out the news, he was overjoyed, flew across the entire country to this little island on the west coast, and started up his new life. He got married. He had children. It was amazing. But rather than give up, Rob continued to hold on to the vision that God had given him. And he pursued seminary, and then he started work with Young Life. And he gathered people around him and his wife, Kathy, and said, "Would you pray? Would you pray that if this is truly God's will, and I've heard him correctly, that his vision would come about?" Rob recalls, all of a sudden, Richard, the owner of the property, became homesick and wanted to head back to Nova Scotia. Dialogue began to happen. A foundation stepped up and said, "We'll underwrite the cost of the property and the building in order for this to happen." And Barnabas became a reality. This beautiful location, I think we have a picture of it. It's an absolutely stunning property. I think there's around 80 acres. And Rob goes on to say, vision is in God's timetable, not in ours. It may be that you have to wait 17 years, as I did, before God opens the door. It might be years, it might be 2 months. But God knows what he's doing. He's the wise one, not us. And Rob held on to that promise, trying not to take things into his own hands, but to leave them to God. In contrast, in our text, God hears Abraham's complaint. He's taking too long. And he responds, God speaks. He says, "This man, Abraham, will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And then he said, "So shall your offspring be." You see, God reaffirms his promise to Abraham, not actually by giving him a son or property immediately, but by a fresh revelation that assures Abraham's faith in the reward giver, not in the reward itself. And Abraham is faced with a decision. What's he going to do? How is he going to respond? This is very hard to believe. But I turn 40 in a month. I know. You thought I was older, I'm sure. And you know what? People are coming up to me and saying, "What do you think about turning 40? It's mostly young people. And you know what? Honestly, I feel like I'm actually really quite excited to turn 40. And I find myself saying the same thing. I've been saying to a few people, you know what is so good about getting older is that when I spin around, I have so many more years to look back on my life and see where God has been faithful to me. And as I look back over my history, I go, okay, yeah, you were good. And it gives me more courage to go the other direction. God hasn't failed me yet. Life hasn't been perfect. It hasn't always been easy, but God has never abandoned me, and he's always been faithful to his word. And you know what? I've seen the same thing, and it would be echoed by Lee and Phil, of God's faithfulness to this community over the last 10 years. God has been good. God has been faithful. God has done good work in each of you, and he's blessed us. God can be trusted. And Abraham senses it's true, and Scripture affirms that it's true, that God can be trusted. But the big question is, for Abraham, will he trust God? And it seems to me there's a number of different possibilities. Abraham could just look at God and say, "You're a liar. You're a liar. I don't believe you. You told me something, and here I am. I have no kid. You're a liar." Or he could look at God and he could say, no, you're taking far too long. Even if it's true, you're taking far too long. I need to take care of my own. I'm taking things back into my own hands. But Abraham actually does something very different. He trusted God at his word. Even though God was taking too long, even though it wasn't what Abraham had hoped for, even though he and Sarah were totally discouraged and about ready to give up faith, he trusts. In one of the most important verses in the entire Old Testament, we are told what God is truly looking for in us. It's not the perfect life. It isn't even an unquestioning acceptance, but a posture of trust. And he credits Abraham as being a righteous man because of it. We are made right by our trust. Abraham comes to believe and trust in the promise maker, not in the promise. And the text tells us that Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. And a local pastor and friend of mine, Daryl Johnson, many of you know him, writes about this text and he says this: the Hebrew word used here for the word believed is amen, meaning to fasten, secure, or put weight on. And it's the word we get, amen. To believe God then is to say amen to God. Amen says your word is true. Your word is reliable. I put my weight on your word, so be it. And Abraham effectively is saying that despite all the evidence to the contrary, despite the fact that he and Sarah still have no kid, despite the fact that they have tried to see this happen for so many years and Sarah is still barren, amen. Amen. Amen to your promise, O Lord. I will trust you with the future. And we are told that God credits it to him as being in a right relationship with God. I believe. Amen. It's the only answer that's ever required of us. Amen. I believe. Amen. When I received that phone call from the church that I had applied to and didn't get the job at, I thought, what am I going to do now? I thought God was calling me to leave this church, to go to a new place, to begin a new work with him. And it was a very difficult time for me. And so over the next year, through much prayer and discernment with other people, I came to the place of simply saying, amen. I believe, amen. Even though all the evidence seems contrary to this, amen. I will trust you. And during this time of trusting and waiting, there was doubt. There were times I started to claw back from God. But generally, I started to open up my heart and say, amen. I believe. God was also working in my friend Lee's life. Lee, as you know, was the pastor of our evening community during that time, and God was starting to stir something in him. And as he and his wife Sage prayed, they sensed that God was leading them to take a pastoral role in a different place. I've recently remembered about 10 years ago, I was attending this church while I was at Regent College, and I said to my wife Melissa, I said, you know what? If a job ever came up, at the time it was called the community life pastor, but now site pastor, same thing. If that job ever came up, I would love that job. What God offered me in the end was far more than I could have imagined, and it was far better than I was hoping for. It was a possession, it was a position here at 10th as your pastor. And so as Lee and his family trusted God and moved to Ladner, Melissa and I trusted God and moved here to Vancouver. And over these past years, you, our evening community, you have taught me what it means to trust. And I've seen so many of you take steps in the faith, following God into difficult places. I've sat with so many of you in my office as you've questioned God. Is this really it, God? Is this all you have for me? I've cried with many of you as God has been very slow to answer your prayers. I've buried some of our own who fought the good fight of faith, who believed in God, are now with him in eternity. The road's challenging. All of our roads are challenging, but God can be trusted. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The key question for us fundamentally is not, what do I want? But will God remain faithful? And the answer, as Abraham and Sarah discovered, as I'm discovering, as we are discovering, is God can be trusted. Amen. Maybe tonight you find yourself doubting this truth. Maybe you're struggling with infertility, mental health concerns, lack of employment, homelessness, physical ailments, a desire to be married. Will you trust God? Will you trust him to provide for your future? Will you trust him to provide that for you in ways that you could never have imagined? Will you trust him when he's slow to speak, when he's slow to act? Will you trust him when he calls you to something you don't think you want to do? Will you trust him? Like Abraham that night, we are faced with a decision. How do we respond to God's invitation to us? As Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann states, the text announces afresh what it means to be human creatures we are created to be. That is to be righteous. It means to trust God with our future and to live assured of that future even in the deathly present. We can ignore God, we can go our own way, we can call God a liar, or we can believe him and we can say amen to him. And God is calling us as individuals, but also as an evening community, to say amen to him. To say amen. I've asked a number of individuals from within our community to share how God has been faithful to them through these years of our evening service. Take a look at this video.
I first came to 10th through a young adults group.
I met a friend who was going to 10th, and she suggested that I go to third service.
Michael and I started dating, and we thought about where we'd be when we got married, so I started attending third.
God just pulled me in here, and I really wasn't able to say no, I guess, in the end.
It was so life-giving and alive and so filled with hope.
God has definitely been faithful in the ways that he has shown me what true community is like. What being a part of something other than yourself is like. He has shown me just how big and grand he is and how his love is just a lot deeper than you imagine it to be.
I've always had a heart for people who are lost and broken and people on the margins. I've been searching for a community that embraces that aspect and other Christians that I can journey with that would support each other in living out that calling.
God's faithfulness has been shown to me in increasing depth of relationship and an invitation to a better understanding of his love and a better sense of his presence with me and love for me.
I think he's been really faithful to the third service and 10th in general, as far as just seeing a continued heart of God and worship here. Looking back, it's easier to see God's faithfulness. The times when I might have been worried, God was really there and faithful. I think at the right times, he's put people in my life that have really impacted me and that I wouldn't have found otherwise.
trusting God in my vocation has been a journey of being faithful to what His calling is for me, and He has returned in faithfulness and in support, and just a really clear sense that He is going to provide for us and to also grow and change the hearts of our community.
Through the years that I've been attending the evening service, I've been challenged by God in many different capacities. Throughout all of those challenges, God has been trustworthy in helping me know that He has never left me.
I learned to trust in God's goodness, that He is my anchor, my refuge, my peace and joy. I find Third Service a refuge place for me every week, where I can find refreshment for the week ahead.
Trust builds on itself, and I think God's trustworthiness has really proven to us over the many years that we've been here, and we can really rely on that now.
Amen.
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 Would you stand with me? And if you would, tonight as a community, grab the hand of the person next to you. You may have to shift a little, that's okay. We're a community who loves one another. And join with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, You are our God. You are holy. And You have been faithful to us over all of these years. And Jesus, we long to trust You. When our road is dark, may Your Holy Spirit come and whisper to us. Our call going forward, Lord, as an evening community, is to trust You and to remain open-handed with You. And we thank You, God, for the ways that You have created this community, for the ways that diversity is shown. God, for the many stories that are represented here, for the last 10 years of Your faithfulness, for the future vision, God, to be worshipers who carry Your message to the world, to seek justice, to value art and beauty and Your created world. Lord, we need You. Lead us. And though the mountains around us be shaken, and the hills removed, Your unfailing love will not be shaken. We claim that scriptural truth tonight. And we know that ultimately it isn't dependent upon our faith at the end of the day, but ultimately it's dependent upon Your faithfulness. We trust You, God, and we long to continue to trust You with our individual lives, but also as a 10th evening community. We pray this in Your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.